Psalm 122:1. I was glad when somebody says, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Man, and I'm glad that we have come to the house of the Lord this morning. It is crowded in here today, and it's going to be crowded in here next week. And I've got some things to say about that. I've got some things to say about this beautiful book that is in front of us today. So bear with me as I share just a little bit about these things, because you who have walked with the Lord long enough and you who have been at the creek long enough know the power of the Word of God to change lives. And we have in front of us today an opportunity that I pray that you would never take for granted, that we actually get to gather together by His mercy and by His grace and actually break open the bread of life. And this Bible, this Word of God that we have, is more powerful than anything that man has ever invented. There's millions of books written by men, but we have one book written by God. As Paul would say, the very breath of God on paper. And outside of heaven, the greatest power that exists on the earth is this Word of God that we have in front of us. And so if you ever wonder why is it that we constantly think about teaching the Word and what the Word of God has to say? Not only has God told us that His Word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword separating between bone and marrow. He said His Word is like a hammer and it's like a fire, has great power. Only the Word of God has the ability to change a life, to change a heart, to bring about conviction and help us to understand truth about who we are, about our King and about our Creator. This beautiful revelation of God about Himself. And so, you know, we've been at the creek and we have been learning the Word of God. And, you know, it breaks my heart that there are so many churches today that are given over to entertainment and given over to stories and jokes and all of these things. And people are searching out places to have their ears tickled and they hear what they want to hear, but it's not what they need to hear. And I hope you've come here today to say, hey, I want to hear a word from God this morning. And it's not always what you want to hear, but it's what you and what I need to hear. I often liken it to dinner time around my table when the kids see the spinach and the broccoli and they see all that hit the plate. And if you've had children, you know, or grandchildren, and you, the reaction would be much greater if there was M&Ms and candy and Snickers and all the like. And do we have to eat the spinach and the broccoli? It may not be what you want, but it's what you need. And so too, God's Word is beautiful. God's Word is beautiful. Sometimes it steps on your toes and sometimes it kicks you in the face. But you know what? God's Word is straight. We're crooked as sinners. And as we press ourselves into the Word of God, we are transformed into the image and likeness of our beautiful Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, that is why we go through not only the Word of God, but the books of the Bible. Because as you preach through the whole counsel of God's Word, you don't really get to pick and choose. Like, I want to hear about God is love, and I want to hear about heaven. Well, when you preach through the books, you avoid the cafeteria theology of only hitting the desserts, and you get to have that whole counsel, and you see it in the context in which the author wanted you to understand what this passage is talking about as it relates to the rest of the book and the rest of the Bible. And so we take the whole counsel of God's Word. My goal today and any Sunday is not that you would leave feeling good, but that there would be some kind of substance in the Word of God that has impacted and changed you so that you can see God and that you could see yourself because of who God is, and it changed your life. And so we open up the bread of life. I happen to preach through the New King James Version. It's a literal translation. Some of you have the NAS and the ESV and different translations. That's great. NIV, fine. Best Bible is a red Bible. And I'm not talking about the color. I'm talking about the one that you read. Don't get your only feeding, spiritually speaking, here on Sunday morning. Meditate in and marinate in the Word of God so that it will affect how you see the world that you live in through the lens of Scripture as God sees the world. And so we love the Word of God, we exalt it, and we give priority to the teaching of God's Word this morning. And I am so glad that we have gathered together here today. Let us begin reading the Word of God, chapter 13. Not going to keep you especially long today as we look at the first 12 verses and have some words about next weekend and get a running start. Verse 25 of chapter 12, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." John Mark, we know him as Mark. Chapter 13, verse 1. "Now, in the church that was at Antioch," Jerusalem being here, I'll help you out by putting a map up on the wall. Jerusalem being here, up a few hundred miles north, is Antioch. And now they have left the area of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Chapter 13 really turns the page to the second half of the book of Acts. The first 12 chapters primarily dealt with, for the most part, dealing with Peter, dealt with reaching the Jews in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But now, as we've gotten to chapter 13, we see the first missionary journey. The missions era begins. The location's not necessarily centered in Jerusalem, but Antioch becomes a church of focus. And we see the ends of the earth being in view, the gospel going now to the Gentiles, the primary character not being Peter, but now the Apostle Paul becomes the primary character from chapter 13 through 28. But Acts is really a book that's not completed because Acts is still being written by you and me and what takes place in our lifetime as we see the gospel advancing to the ends of the earth, the completion, until the Lord returns. And the way things are going, that could be any day now. And the church that was at Antioch, not a building, the people that gathered at Antioch, and amongst them were certain prophets and teachers, teachers who would communicate doctrine and truth. Many would gather together there, and prophets who would guide them, instrumental, these two offices, prophets and teachers. And the Bible's going to list five names here: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with, or the foster brother of Herod. Very interesting. Herod the Tetrarch. And also Saul, or the Apostle Paul. You know, what's interesting about this, of these five men, two of them were probably black men. And good for the early church, right? Because there's no racial prejudice already. It's unity because of the blood of Christ being for all men. One of the things I love so greatly about the Creek is over 20 different languages are spoken by the people that comprise Richland Creek. You see people from different nationalities represented here on a Sunday morning. I have had many conversations with people say, what I love about Richland Creek is it's a Revelation 5 kind of church where you see all different nationalities, all peoples from around the globe gathering together to worship the Lamb, that picture in Revelation. And I love the congregation and all the different nationalities, the families of God that comprise this family of believers here at the Creek. And I praise God for the unity that God has blessed us with as we focus on Christ, as we focus on the Messiah. We become colorblind and we understand that there's one King, one Creator in His creation. And so there they were, these men who were gathered, these five leaders and the church that they led. And it says in verse 2, "As they ministered, as they provided oversight to the flock, and their prayers, and their teaching, in their leading, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit moved in this congregation. The Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" You see, that word called them, that God has given a specific assignment, a God-given task is being assigned to this church to set apart a couple of men. And now we have two categories, the goers and the senders. And both of them are extremely important, not just the goers, but the senders. Those who would say, God, you've gifted me, you've called me, you've given me a task, and I'm going to go. And I praise God of the many men and women who have left this church, who have planted churches, who have pastored, who have gone on to do ministry around the United States and even the world. Even as we partner with some of these men who have gone, as we think about the Titcheners who serve in Greece and the ministry partnership that we have with them. There are those who go out from the church, but just as important as the goers, listen, are the senders. Those of us who remain here and hold the ropes, so to speak. You go and I will hold the ropes. And when we are senders, we have a beautiful partnership, an obligation, and a privilege to partner with them in encouragement. We have sent letters and cards and supplies. We encourage those who go. And most importantly, we pray for the work of those who have gone, that God would grant favor and blessing and strength and wisdom and open doors for the gospel for those that go out. And we provide financial resources as well for those who have those needs. There's the goers and there are the senders, and both are equally important. God uses them to advance the kingdom of God. And we have seen churches planted and people saved. This is the plan of God, not just for Richland Creek, but God's churches all over the globe who are focused on the kingdom advancing. But do you know what this requires? It requires God's people to not be so caught up in the things of this world, not so distracted, not so inwardly focused. It's God's people, kingdom people, having an understanding of God's kingdom, that they see something so much greater and something so much bigger than themselves that they want to partner with God in the spreading of the word to the ends of the earth. And so even we see here the mission era begins. Now, Richland Creek is not a church with a missions program. The church, by definition, is a missions church. That you, as God's people, understand how God has created you and why He's created and gifted you, that you are on mission for God. Did you know that? You're on mission for God during the week, and there has to be a sense of urgency about these things. And as you begin to see your coworkers, your friends, your children, your grandchildren, people that you interact with, maybe in business, whatever it may be, that you have this kingdom mindset, that every moment is a ministry moment, an opportunity to speak to them about the kingdom of God. And you place everybody against this backdrop of eternity. And I want these thoughts to go through your mind. How about two Bible verses as you live and interact with people? Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for men to live once, to die, and then stand before God at judgment. We are all quickly being ushered into eternity. Everybody's going to live once, die once, and stand before God at judgment. So that's what the Bible clearly teaches. And you look at somebody and you say, hey, you're being ushered into eternity. I don't know if you're going to die today, tomorrow, maybe 20, maybe 60 years from now. But it's appointed for man to live once, die once, stand before God at judgment. And then the Bible says, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son doesn't have life. Those people on your team, people in your neighborhood, people you interact with, friends and family, do they know the Lord? Because he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. We're all being ushered into eternity. And there's this sense of urgency that we see in the early church that for some reason has begun to slip away from the churches in the world today. As if everything is going to be on the status quo and okay, but it's moving on. God's truth is moving on. The urgency that gripped the heart of these men who saw the kingdom and knew that there was something greater than themselves to live for. And so, verse 3, having fasted and prayed and sought God's will. They laid hands on him. Now, there's nothing magical or mystical about laying hands on someone. It's a way of recognizing that God has called them to this specific task or office, whatever it may be. And they acknowledged and prayed, "Oh God, grant favor, strength, and wisdom, blessing." We're acknowledging that you have set them apart for this particular task. They laid hands on them and they sent them away. There's the goers and the senders. And now verse 4, having been sent out by who? The Holy Spirit from the church. Do you see how that works? Being sent out by the Holy Spirit from the church, they went down. Now, they were in Antioch. They're going to go to a staging point right there on the Mediterranean. Then they're going to set sail out to Sicily, out to Cyprus, to this island. And then they're going to begin this first missionary journey. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they get on the boat. And I wonder what's going through their mind as they are boarding up. They're going, here we go. There's an island out there, and these people haven't heard the word of God. Here we go. And they set sail. They went out to Cyprus, this is island in the Mediterranean. And when they arrived at Salamis, guess what they did? They preached the word. Why is that the strategy? Why didn't they just go and hang out and start some sport clubs and everything? Why didn't they just exchange recipes and try to get along with everybody? Now, those may be good bridges and platforms to take advantage of. But when they got there, they preached the word of God. The only way somebody's going to get saved is if they hear the word of God. You see, the word of God, if this represents it here, it has to be taken and delivered to the hearer. The hearer has to hear the truth. Now, the world is constantly challenging the church and God's people to do this. Because if nobody hears the word, nobody gets saved. The kingdom doesn't advance. And so Satan is trying to devise ways, either through social, cultural pressures, to get God's people to be quiet. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, you don't want to offend them, but guess where they're going to spend eternity? And you don't want to offend somebody, you're going to offend the God who told you to go. Think about that. So we take this. Satan's trying to say, no, don't take it. Keep your mouth shut. Or the church is constantly being pressured to settle down. Water it down. Water it down. If you have a watered down gospel, listen to me. If you have a watered down gospel, you have no gospel at all. You have compromised the truth and it's not the truth anymore. You're simply trying to tickle ears. You're not telling the truth. God says, here's the truth. Go and tell. God is spreading the word to the ends of the earth. And he wants to use every one of you in this room. Please don't for a minute sit here and think, well, that sounds kind of interesting, but that's for somebody else. No, I'm so moved by Pastor Allen telling the story about a middle school girl who opened her mouth and two of her friends got saved recently. Because she says, I understand what the gospel is. God wants me to tell it. It's just a matter of whether I want to be faithful, obedient, and have the courage. God, give me the courage. And people getting saved. God wants to use you in this kingdom to advance the kingdom through the people who are in your circle of touch that other people won't have that access to. And so when they got there, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. This has happened to be a good place for them to start because they were already gathering there and opening up the Hebrew scriptures. And Paul says, hey man, this is a great place to start. So he would begin there and then it would spread. And so they also had John Mark as their assistant. He went with them. And now when they had gone through this island, they get to the other side of the island and Paphos. And when they got to Paphos, oh my, guess what they came across? You know, it's kind of like the greatest adventure you'll ever be on is living for the Lord. How many of you know that? If you've walked with God, I know y'all know. If you've walked with God, the greatest challenge, the greatest adventure you'll be on. Now, you know guys that go out on these fishing expeditions, they come back and they're like, hey man, you should have seen Johnny. He hooked this big one, he was fighting it going on, and they're telling these stories. Greatest adventure you'll ever go on is living for God. Man, can you imagine them going back and telling the story? We got to the other side of this island And Paul goes up to this one guy, and Barnabas is there, and they come across, in Paphos, they come across a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Now, he's going to not believe the word. He's going to be opposed to the word. He's not spiritually neutral. He's opposed to the word of God. A false prophet, a Jew whose surname was Bar-Jesus, son of, it's a common name. And he had attached himself to, in a relationship, had influence with the Roman provincial leader, a proconsul, named Sergius Paulus. And he was an intelligent or a prudent man. And Sergius Paulus, he had heard that Saul and Barnabas were there teaching, and he heard and he called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. You know what you call that kind of a person today? A seeker. Somebody who's not saved, but man, I'm interested in. I see how people are living. I'm curious about the word of God. They're seeking. Let me tell you that there will be many seekers here next Sunday. I promise you. Third hour is going to be chaos next Sunday. So let me call a timeout and ask if you can help me. If you are at all possible able to go to first, second, or fourth hour, first, second, or fourth hour, if at all possible, because the third hour is the most crowded service. Now, unless you just want to come in here and witness a zoo, but if you come in here next week, I want you to be able to stand around the sides or come sit up here. We'll have the kids hanging from that wire over there and people standing all behind me. We're going to make it happen. I'm excited about moving into the new building, and updates are coming, but right now it's just in one of those phases where they've got the drawings and they've got the plans and they've got the permitting, and we're just praying that God would push all those things through. But as of this Easter, we're going to be in this room and we're going to have fun with it. But if you can at all be in first, a crowded first, second, and fourth hour, as opposed to if you come next week, you either have to stand on the sides, give your kids shoulder rides, or have your spouse or your kids sitting in your lap. And it's going to be fun. Because why would we be willing to inconvenience ourselves? Why was Saul and Barnabas willing to inconvenience themselves and get on some boat, live in terrible conditions, be persecuted? Why are they willing to inconvenience themselves? Why do you think? Because they saw something so much greater, so much better, so much bigger than themselves. They had a kingdom worldview. I'm living for the God who saved me, the King who died for me, the God who's coming again. Hey, in 50 years, we're all going to be on the other side. We have a little bit of time on this side of eternity to impact all of eternity. And what we do on this side of eternity will resound throughout all eternity. I promise you. See something bigger than yourselves, better than yourselves. Live for the God who saved you. And so I want you to be willing to park further away. If you're not handicapped, if you're able and you can park down on the field far away, would you please do so? And the guys that are trying to direct the traffic are trying to help you. Don't run over them. Don't be mad. Don't give them any hand signals in return when they're trying to direct you this way and you want to go that way. Let them work their plan. Be inconvenienced. Not just next Sunday, but always. Because there's something greater. There's something bigger. People are going to come next week, and not just next week, in the weeks to come, who are just like this Sergius Paulus, and they're going to be looking for the kingdom of God. They're going to be searching for truth. And when they see the selflessness and the love demonstrated by you as God's people, that will be a sweet aroma that attracts them to the gospel. And when they're here, they're going to hear the gospel, the word of God, and it's going to be planted into their heart. Let's be praying that it brings about salvation in their lives. Amen? Man, I'd love to see hundreds of people saved next week and in the weeks to come, as these seeds are planted in their lives, they're going to see people being baptized, which is a powerful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. As we are now born again, we are in Christ. We're identified in that resurrection unto life. These are the things that are going to impact all the seekers who come next week. And would you be willing to go out of your comfort zone and shake the hands of 10 people you've never met before? You can say, hey, I just wanted to meet you. I just wanted to greet you. Instead of hanging out with your family and friends, break out and just say, hey, I wanted to say hi. I tell you the truth. If a family who comes next week and a teenage girl who they don't know just walks up out of the blue and says, hey, I just wanted to say hi. I'm glad you're at the creek today. They'll never forget it. Don't minimize the impact you'll have by loving people, sacrificing for people, and thinking of something greater than yourself. As we greet people, as we park far away, as we give up seats, if we transfer to a different service for next week, whatever it is, God's going to honor that. Let's hear the story about how this seeker, he hears the word of God. And they told it. They didn't just keep their mouth shut. They didn't water it down. You know, they told him the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But always opposition. Verse 8, Elymas, the sorcerer, he was this false prophet. The sorcerer, he withstood them. He tried to prevent them. He was an obstacle in their way, saying, hey, lay off this guy. Go take your gospel somewhere else. He is no longer in the category of spiritually neutral. Let me explain that. Now, some of you have children and grandchildren. If somebody is in my children's lives who's spiritually neutral, you know, hey, we're just kind of living life. That's a whole lot different than somebody who is serving as an obstacle trying to ruin or destroy their faith. And that's exactly what this sorcerer was doing. He was an obstacle to the gospel advancing in this man's life. And he sought to turn. He's being aggressive now. He was seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. What do you do in a situation like that if it's in your life? Not time to be passive anymore, is it? Time to remove it. It'll grow like a cancer in your family. Don't let them attach themselves to your children, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts. And if you're exposing your children intentionally or letting them be exposed to things that are harmful to their faith, you've got to remedy that situation. And so Paul understands what's going on. He was seeking to turn this proconsul, this seeker, away from the faith. And Saul and Barnabas don't simply say, well, that's too bad, walk away. No, we need men and women who have backbone today. And so Saul, who is also called Paul, this is the first place he's called Paul. And so if you play Bible Trivia Pursuit and you want to highlight that, when's the first place? There it is, right there. He's called Paul. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked intently at this false prophet, this sorcerer. And he said to him, oh, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And I want you to know, Paul completely failed his politically correct class. Do you see his diplomacy and his tact that he rolled out here? Man, he's just telling it like it is. And we need men and women who will step up. Now, I'm sure they took a lot of heat of this, but did they tell the truth? Yes. Now, unfortunately, the Bible doesn't reveal whatever happened. Was he rebuked and then it worked and he eventually came into repentance and was saved? I don't know. But he told it like it was. He put him and he told him the truth. And watch this. Verse 11, and now indeed, Paul goes on to say, the hand of the Lord is upon you and you shall be blind. He was already spiritually blind, now temporary physical blindness, not seeing the sun for a time, and immediately a dark mist fell on him And he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul's first miracle that's mentioned here in the scripture. But I want you to see the result of them speaking the truth and standing firm on that which is true. What happens to the seeker? Verse 12, and then we close. Then the proconsul believed, placed his faith, and he was saved. He believed the message. You hear the word of God and you put your faith in the message that they were preaching, the gospel of Christ. The proconsul believed, and when he had seen what had been done, being astonished at what? The miracle? No. He was being astonished at the teaching of the Lord, lifting up the beautiful word that has all power and is able to save. Here they go out of their comfort zone, willing to sacrifice. The church was willing to hold the ropes and pray. These men see something greater than themselves, and they go. And they go and they speak the word of God. Some were opposed to it, but some heard it and believed it. And we will see Sergius Paulus in heaven. And extra-biblical stories talk about how this man, gospel came to him and also to his family, and they had a great deal of kingdom impact because the gospel spread in their family and they embraced it. Archaeological digs find coins with Sergius Paulus in this time frame too to validate all these things. The power of the word of God and people who are willing to step outside of their comfort zone and see something greater than themselves. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to do these things in the week to come and even beyond? Say, yeah, Pastor, I will pray this week. Yeah, Pastor, I'm willing to invite people this week. Yeah, next week I'm going to park far away. I'm going to greet people and I'm going to praise the Lord. And if I have to stand during the service, I'm going to worship and praise the Lord the whole time. Amen? Because you see something greater than yourselves. Our King is worthy of these things. Amen? I praise the Lord for you. I love you all, and I'm excited about what God is doing at the Creek. Be excited, be praying, and be inviting this upcoming week. And we'll see what God does next week as we trust it and trust it to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sweet time to be with believers today. God, would you move in and through your people as we pray? And as we invite, God, would you use our hands, our feet, our mouths to advance the kingdom? God, you said you would. So we submit ourselves to you and we pray and ask you. Lord, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Father, we ask that you would call us to be on mission. Lord, every person in this room, whether we're in middle school, high school, college, adults, seniors, that you would use your people to be the hands and the feet, the mouthpiece of God that would go and pray and invite and encourage and love and greet and to be selfless, Lord, not just next week, but in the weeks to come, that the kingdom of God might advance through us. God, let us be your people who are on mission for you. Lord, we are all being ushered into eternity. Every person's going to stand before you. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Father, the most loving thing we can do is tell people the truth. So God, would you bless our efforts, give us wisdom and strength, and go before us this upcoming week and beyond. We pray in the matchless name of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.